Well, amen. Let's go to the book of Job. Job. We've done a couple things in Job, and it's just been a really good read. Of course, we're reading many other parts of our Bible. But let's just go to Job 27. We're going to do this more as a devotional type of thing, and so it may go longer than I'm thinking, but I'm going to try to make it more of a very kind of brief devotional. Turn over there to Job 27. And you'll remember or be familiar with, hopefully, most of you, with most of the verses I'm going to make reference to in the New Testament. And my subject's going to be righteousness before God. Righteousness before God. In other words, righteousness in front of God. Before God. Standing before God. Now, the reason this is significant is that we must remember that the further you get into your Bible, and the further you get into being a Bible-believing Christian, and the further you go with understanding that there truly is one book, okay, and then the further that you get into doctrine, you got to take the whole word. Now, Job says in Job 27, verse 6, and by the way, verse 1, this is interesting. It's for another time, but verse 1, moreover, Job continued his parable and said, and it also says over there in two chapters later, Job 29, verse 1 also says, moreover, Job continued his parable and said. And the concept there, the idea, the teaching is that he's teaching. God's using him to teach. So it's not an allegory, it's a parable. Now, Job says in verse 6 of chapter 27, Job 27, verse 6, my righteousness I hold fast and will not let it go. My heart shall not reproach me so long as I live. Now, if you took that out of context, if you read it in the daily paper, if you were witness to somebody, and that was their response to the gospel, you would think one thing. So taken out of context, alarm bells go off. But taken in context, lights come on. Now, it's very important because in our day, we are blessed with some very clear teachings. We know that all of sin comes short of the glory of God. We also know that righteousness that gets us into heaven is imputed. But that runs all the way back to Genesis 15, that God accounted it, imputed righteousness unto Abraham because he believed God. So we know that one of the great clear teachings that's really clear in our age is imputed righteousness, okay? Now, in so doing, there's times when another clear teaching has been somewhat neglected and even at times criticized. And that subject is personal righteousness. In your Bible, when he says holiness without which no man shall see God, over in Hebrews, okay, when he speaks of that, then he's speaking of personal righteousness. Now, it's easy to get one side of something and miss the other side of it in application. You know, in Hebrews 12, he says that he's going to chasten us, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Well, if we received his holiness by imputed righteousness, then, or by merely getting saved, why would he have to chasten us? And why would no chastening, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11, for the present seem it to be joyous? Why would it be called an exercise? It's because there is imputed righteousness, which is a wonderful clear teaching that we have. And we receive it. But if we're not careful, we aren't concerned with falling holiness without which no man shall see God. See, in Hebrews 12, that's verse 14, by the way, follow peace with all men and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. The idea of eternal security, which is absolute clear teaching, Bible. And then, of course, the blessing of receiving the doctrine, which is called assurance of salvation. We call it assurance because you could be saved and be eternally secure and not have the assurance of it because you haven't embraced the doctrine. And then people are so on guard about that that they forget that Job's statements were never rebuked by the Lord. He makes that statement in chapter 27 and verse 6. And in chapter 29 verse 14, he says, I put on righteousness and it clothed me. My judgment was as a robe and a diadem. God never rebuked Job for holding to his righteousness. Now, here's why. His friends, in chapter 27, verse 5, he responds to them and says, God forbid that I should justify you. Till I die, I will not remove mine integrity from me. His friends insisted that his troubles were from sin. And the Bible expressly teaches that in this case, they weren't. I really appreciate what a fellow named Oswald Chambers has had recorded and written from over 100 years ago, and that is this, or 100 years ago, and that is this. It is not humility to act like God can't work holiness in our life. That's not humility. You know, there is none righteous, no, not one. All have sinned, absolutely. But he wants to bring holiness, okay? He wants us to be partakers of his holiness, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 10. And so, in the past, say, 50 to 100 years, those who have advocated holiness were immediately branded with a variety of names and adjectives. For example, someone who believes in, and I'm talking about a personal walk type holiness, not a legislated holiness, but they'll call it legalism. No, legalism is about how you get saved. Holiness is about how you live out your salvation or your standing. You see, Elihu and his friends were very dense. They were dense to the point that God rebuked them at the end, made them bring an offering to Job so he could pray for them. And what Job does is, what Elihu does in chapter 36, for example, it's a short devotion, so I'll just read it to you. I will fetch my knowledge from afar and will ascribe righteousness to my maker. Boy, doesn't that sound spiritual? Doesn't that just sound just, oh, I mean, man, he is waxing eloquent. No, no. What he's saying is, we give God the glory, Job, and all your troubles are because you didn't. See, Job's statements are simple, and that is this. My calamities are not punishment. See, his friends were terrified. We mentioned before, he said to him, you're afraid. So his friends were terrified at this truth. And this truth was that God might find you so faithful to him that he wants to point it out to the devil. Could God find something in Job? Yeah, he did. He could have found some fault in Job. He could have. And yet he commended Job. Why would he do that? See, it was God who commended Job. Hello? I mean, could God brag on you? Could God brag on you at the way he did Job? And it's not about dress code, okay? Or duties or doctrine. But it was much larger than that. See, out of nowhere in your Bible, you have this account, and God purposely lets us know the source of it. And the Lord said unto Satan, Job 1 verse 8, hast thou considered my servant Job? This is in response to Satan saying that he was going to and fro in the earth from walking up and down in it. What the devil doesn't say about himself is he's trying to see whom he may devour. By the way, your English Bible, your King James Bible says who he may devour. He has to have permission. He doesn't get to do anything he wants. In chapter 2, verse 3, the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God, escheweth evil, still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause. Oh, mark that phrase, without cause, and then go look it up throughout your Bible, and look it up in the life of David, a great type of Christ, and then look it up in the book of Psalms when you're reading your Psalms. See, this thing is much larger. There is no formula, okay? There is no list. There is no standard about righteousness before God. But there's an interesting statement about Job in the book of Ezekiel. And in the book of Ezekiel, write it down, make a note, chapter 14, he said in verse 19, "Or if I send a pestilence into that land and pour out my fury upon it in blood to cut off from it man and beast, though Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it, as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver neither son nor daughter, they shall but deliver their own souls by their righteousness." That's how large it was. You have to just take a little time to let those three characters, Noah, Daniel, and Job, sink in. Their righteousness. Is he talking about getting into heaven? No. But he's talking about their state before God. You're standing, okay? Your standing is imputed righteousness. But then God looks at your life, and God wants to see that in our lives, we are like Job. We are like Noah. We are like Daniel. You say, "Well, I could find fault with all three of them." Exactly. See, the problem is we have too low a standard today of personal living. We have too low a standard today. We find a standard. People find a church where people dress kind of within a reason, or they talk within a reason, or they come to church so many hours a week, or they do certain works. People find their culture and they fit into it. Okay? But God says, what I want to know is, where are you inside? Righteousness before God. See, Job never thought as highly of himself as God did, yet he did know. Job knew that he feared God. Job knew he eschewed evil. And Job even made offerings, even for his children, just in case they had done something to break that. Okay? Now think about a phrase. Like I said, I'm going to keep this, try to keep it short and just devotional. Watch. "But and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you to a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing." Ready? "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, a just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison," etc., etc., etc. Do you get what he's saying? You've got a standing before God. But what state do you find yourself in? And if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. For righteousness' sake, not your imputed righteousness. Okay? Nobody ever suffered just for having imputed righteousness. In fact, the devil would love for you to live in your imputed righteousness like Job's three friends, and be self-righteous, and be a Pharisee, and etc., etc., etc. He would love that. That would please him greatly. You see, Job never thought highly of himself, as highly as God did. Job would never have put himself out there as some great example. But Job was walking in righteousness before God. And you say, "Well, what on earth is a devotion?" Would you just let that sink in today? Lord, what do you think about me today? Now wait, I didn't say, "Lord, do you think I've done enough? Lord, do you think I go to church enough? Lord, do you think I do this enough, this and this?" No, just, "Lord, where are you and I today?" Ask yourself where your heart is. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where's your heart? Fell the other day, reached in his back pocket, and he turned white as a ghost. He misplaced his wallet. And he happens to carry his money in his wallet. Some of us carry it in one of our front pockets where we can tell if somebody got it. Happened to reach in there and no wallet. some of his treasure. I don't mean that's where his whole life was, but a lot missing. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Job would not relinquish his righteousness before God, not because he was trying to get into heaven with it, not because he thought he was somebody, but he wasn't going to let the devil take away what he knew was so between him and God. He wasn't going to let trouble or trials or tongues of others. See, the danger often is others. And the danger is you, dear friend, who don't have the walk that Job had. But he wasn't going to let the troubles and the trials and the tongues do that. You know why? He had righteousness before God. He never had to tell a soul, but he wasn't going to relinquish it. There is today a real push. There is today a real thing that happens where people, in order to do like Job's three friends did, they have to find fault with some of the Jobs in this world. And the Jobs aren't sitting on thrones, and the Jobs aren't sitting on platforms, and the Jobs aren't necessarily experiencing anything anybody would want to have themselves. Amen. And so you've got to ask yourself, will you get a walk and maintain that walk with God? May the Lord help you. May He bless you.